You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Friday, which means we've got a ton of freaking picks for you. It's Friday, which means we've got some fantasy football picks for you. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa! Cam Stewart, Red Heat, joins us in studio. The Raging Redhead, we break down the hot roster DFS tournaments for the weekend. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart's not the only in-studio guest. Pat Mayo, the PME, joins us with his weekly Super Lock of the Week. So we're talking a lot of NFL football on the show. It's the NASCAR Championship this weekend. So Steve Merrill's going to join us, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. We're going to run the gauntlet. We're talking everything with Steve, man. We've got NASCAR. We've got college basketball, NBA basketball, and the UNLV Running Rebels are on the road tonight. UNLV, go fight, win. UNLV getting 28.5 points on the road tonight against Boise State. Now, I'm imagining it to television school kids. They tell you, do not put, they tell you, never point at the camera. I always point at the camera. I'm looking at you. I always point at the camera. They probably tell you, don't like point paper at the camera. Well, here's the pointing at the camera right now, all right? You know, we got a lot of paper here, and a lot of facts, a lot of picks, a lot of props, and everything else in between. So let's get started with our National Football League bold predictions of the week. Now listen, I'm not one of these guys, and I saw you guys last week when I called Stephen A. Smith an idiot, and I was defending Colin Kaepernick. I read some of the comments and, you know, yes, it is true, I am an idiot. I'll accept that part, but I saw a couple of people say, you know, the more I watch this guy, the more I think he says crazy things just to get attention. I don't care about getting attention, all right? And, you know, I believe these crazy things that I actually say. So I'm never, like, going to come up here and pimp things just, oh, you know, I'm going to try to get, you know, for an angle, so to speak. So I look at this week. I don't know how bold my picks are. I don't really see any monster upsets except for one pretty big one. That we're going to give you at the end of this. So let's start off with some bold predictions of the week. I wanted to take the Tennessee Titans. That would have been pretty bold. Hey, man, they've lost 10 straight times to these guys. But ultimately, I already got burnt by Dumb and Dumber on camera one and camera two before in this matchup. And these guys seem to be the Colt experts. They like the Colts again. I think the game's going to be a track meet. But ultimately, hey, I'm a Vegas guy, man, so I'm not going to get in the way of this, all right? It's been 10 in a row. It's probably going to be 11 in a row. Take the Colts and take the over. All right, this is pretty bold. Todd Gurley's kind of been average, right? Mediocre, pedestrian, only averaging 3.1 yards per clip. Well, Todd Gurley rushes for over 100 yards. He's going to score two touchdowns, and Jared Goff is going to win his National Football League debut. Why? Do I have some analytics behind this? No. My only reasoning for this is, it's physically impossible. It's physically impossible for the Miami Dolphins to win five times in a row. It just can't happen, all right? This isn't like the 70s, man, all right? Quit living in the past, man. The Miami Dolphins will not win five games in a row. And Todd Gurley's going to go off. He's going to be a fantasy sleeper this week. Gurley goes off against that soft run defense of the Miami Dolphins. All right, this isn't very bold, but I'm going to say it anyways. Carson Palmer sucks. He'll continue to suck. And he's going to suck hard once again. Minnesota's going to end their four-game losing streak. They're going to beat Arizona. And then Bruce Arians is going to, like, fire the team pilot. They're going to have to take a bus back. He's going to, fire the long snapper. He's going to blame the punter. He's going to can all the cheerleaders. It's like Vladimir Putin's fault. Everybody's fault except his own. You know whose fault it's going to be? Carson Palmer. He's terrible. Let the Tony Romo to Arizona rumors begin. Here's a pretty bold prediction, actually. The Green Bay Packers are actually going to win. Here's another bold prediction. I'm going to be standing here on Monday talking about who ruined your Sunday, bitching about the Green Bay Packers sucking. That's the theme of the day today, sucking. Well, you know what? The Green Bay Packers are going to win this game. I got burnt. I watched that game at Hooters last year in Las Vegas. I had a lot of money on the over, but unfortunately, I had even more money on the Washington Redskins. I was wrong. I won't be wrong again. The Green Bay Packers are terrible. Mike McCarthy's walking around telling people about what a great coach he is. You're not a great coach. You're an idiot. But you got a great quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers is going to throw like four touchdown passes. The Packers will actually freaking win a game. That game's going to go over the number as well. Here's a bold prediction. Donald Trump's going to drop dead and have a heart attack when he finds out the Raiders and the Texans are playing in Mexico City. and Houston Texan fans are going to hope that Bill O'Brien has a heart attack and collapses on the sideline after he decides to tell everybody that the Texans made the right call and not drafting David Carr. Yeah, that was the best call. Derek Carr, David Carr, what? Because you already drafted the other car? You didn't want to take another car? And now you're driving a piece of crap car? You could be driving a Ferrari right now. You're driving around like me and my old man in the 70s in a freaking Pinto, man. All right? You could have one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. You know, Brian's supposed to be a quarterback guru, but, you know, the guy's too dumb to realize that, you know, Carr is better than Savage. Evidently, you wouldn't have to worry about Brock Osweiler right now. How do you say suck in Spanish? You know, whatever it is, you suck, all right, in Spanish. And here's a real bold prediction for you right now. The Dallas Cowboys, 8-game winning streak, comes to an end. Joe Flacco beats Dak Prescott. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We got a stacked show, man. Cam Stewart's going to join us in studio. I walked in like moments before the show started, about a moment before the show started. I can gauge Cam's mood pretty quickly, and Cam seems pretty surly. I don't know if camera two, Drew, upset him earlier today. What's the deal, Drew? Did you not bring him a sandwich or a muffin today, or... Like, Cam seems to be pretty worked up today, so might be an angry hot roster segment today. Pat Mayo, he'll join us in studio with his super lock. He's got to get back on track, man. So we'll see what Mayo likes this week. And let's bring in Steve Merrill right now, because we're running the gauntlet with Merrill, man. We're talking about every sport alive. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, let's jump right in, man. NASCAR, Chase for the Cup, Final Four. Homestead, Miami, Florida. Standings and the points are thrown out. Whoever finishes highest among the four drivers eligible will win the championship. An interesting angle here, though, is the fact that Edwards and Busch are actually teammates. And, you know, Logano and Johnson will be on the outside looking in as far as that's concerned. But this is, and another thing that caught my eye too, who wins the championship, completely different from the race odds, Steve, is, you know, Kevin Harvick is eliminated, but Kevin Harvick is actually a favorite to win the race.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that jumps out to me, of course, this is the third year that we've had this do or die four-man tournament here in Homestead, basically. And each of the last 2 years, not only has the champion won the race, but he's needed to win the race just to win the championship, meaning the other guys come in second place. And we basically have seen all four guys run very well in both races the last 2 years. And I don't think it's a fluke. First of all, they're good drivers, but there's also something about the rest of the field, you know, giving them a little give and take. Who knows? Maybe even tell them that, you know, behind the scenes in NASCAR would not surprise me, because the last thing they want is somebody to take out a guy who's in the top four contention in this race. So obviously that favors those four guys. But Kevin Harvick is still the most consistent driver on the circuit, and he's favored for good reason. Another guy you got to look at, Matt Kenseth, has the best average finish at Homestead the last six races, or the best average position, rather, in the six races, which is a stat I look at. And then also, don't forget, Miami's been reconfigured in recent years. So a guy like Kyle Busch has bad average finish numbers here, but he won the race last year, so obviously he runs well. And it's more of an intermediate track now than it used to be. And we've seen guys like Martin Truex Jr. dominate intermediate tracks. So I think Harvick, Kenseth, and Truex could be three sleepers who aren't in that, you know, four-man race this week.
All right, well, let's talk about the playoff race, because that's what intrigues me from a betting standpoint. I don't want to have to worry about who wins the race. I just want to concentrate on the four championship drivers. Let's start off with the favorite, Jimmy Johnson, plus 225, would be his seventh championship win, would tie him with Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt Sr. for the most of all time. Pretty lofty company right there. Amazingly enough, he's never won here before, but he's never really had to, right? Like, it's a different scenario right now, because Homestead's, you know, as you stated, it's only been a couple of years that it's been this important. His average finish here is 14.1. His average playoff chase so far is 11.7. Jimmy plus 225. I'm not interested. Any one of these four guys can win, but I'm not taking the favorite here in Jimmy.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, there's really hardly a favorite. I looked at one book yesterday, and everybody was like plus 250 to plus 275. So he's a slight favorite at best, by only, you know, a couple cents. Basically, all four guys are almost evenly priced here to win the championship, which should make for a fantastic race. You look at Johnson, his average position the last three races at Homestead have been about the 7th and 8th average. That's been his median position. Kyle Busch, meanwhile, has been 6th and 2nd average position, including last year when he won. He was 28th the year before that. So he had that one bad race in 2014, but he's been very strong recently on this track, despite what his career numbers say. Logano, though, and Edwards strong here as well. In fact, Edwards was very strong in the old Miami, and he's decent now as well, but it's a different track, more of an intermediate speedway. But keep in mind, he won at Texas, the most recent mile-and-a-half race that we've had this season.
Carl Edwards is plus 250. He's a two-time winner here in Miami, but it's been a while. He hasn't won since 2010 on this track. He does have the best average finish among the four top racers. He's been a runner-up twice. He lost the tiebreaker before, so he's had some heartbreak trying to win the Cup in the past. Something that caught my eye here is the fact that he's led at Homestead 568 laps, man. So, you know, the most out of anyone here. So he's obviously very dangerous. Kyle Busch, fact is, guys just don't really go back-to-back very often, Steve. You know, Kyle Busch is the defending champion right now. Hasn't won a race either in a long time. Hasn't won since Indianapolis.
Yeah, and he was the second-best points guy last year in this race from a fantasy perspective. He, of course, won the race, won the championship. What's interesting, Gabe, if you look back at 2014, the race before that, none of the four contenders right now were even top 10 that day in fantasy points. So it just shows how inconsistent this track has been. And it's because they only go there once. And unless you're in the final four, there's not a lot of reason to practice or to be in contention here. So that's another reason it's kind of a random race.
Yeah, you're right. Only a couple of guys would probably want to get some tire time there. Thinking it would be smart to think ahead. All right. Busch is always dangerous, though, man. This is going to be so damn entertaining. He hasn't won since Indy. Not a great track record here, but like you said, he did win last year when he had to. He's got an average finish of 21.1 here. Only 10 guys have won back-to-back. Hasn't happened. Jimmy's done it. Before that, it was Jeff Gordon, so it doesn't happen often. He is running hard in the playoffs, though, an average finish of 7.3. But it leads us to the guy that I'm going to sprinkle on here. And I guess you could take two guys and still show a profit. But you better get it right if you're going to take two of them. But I'm going to take a shot. Joey Logano, plus 275, man. There's a lot to like here, Steve. Won last week in Phoenix, third in Kansas, second at Texas on a mile and a half. 25 top 10 finishes this year. Two playoff wins. I'm taking a shot with the kid here, Logano, to get it done, as long as Kenseth doesn't run him into the wall.
I mean, all these guys are tough. If it really is a mile-and-a-half track now, he's second and third in the last two races on a mile-and-a-half. Carl Edwards won the last one. Kyle Busch is fifth in each of the last mile-and-a-halves. Johnson, 11th, 4th, and 1st in the last three. So these guys are all capable of winning. I think a safer play might be to either play a couple guys straight up to win the race. As I mentioned before, each of the last 2 years, the champ has won the race. The other guys finished second and top three. You know, maybe look at some top three numbers of Case Harvick, you know, or Truex, one of those other guys, one of the spoilers, sneaks in there, wins the race. A top three for your champion, probably going to get it done as well.
All right, Steve. So who's the champion going to be? Make a pick. One guy. I'm saying Logano's going to be the one with the cup when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think it's wide open, but I'd say Kyle Busch or Johnson. I'll go with the experience and the big race factor versus, you know, Edwards or Logano, who've really never been in this position. But keep in mind, Carl Edwards tied for the championship back in 2011 and lost the tiebreaker.
It's not so it's one not pick, like, Steve.
I know.
One
but
guy.
No, I'm just
so
saying,
who, one guy.
My point is, I know, I'm saying I'll go with Kyle Busch, but what I'm saying is even the experience thing is hard to figure out because Carl Edwards actually tied for the championship 5 years ago. But I'll take Busch over Johnson first, second.
All right. So Memphis and Cincinnati, let's be quick on this game, unless you got a strong opinion on it. Real crappy game, man. Tuberville's on the ropes here. He's done. He's telling fans off and stuff. He's making a lot of money. You know, they just can't win. Their offense is putrid. I don't know what's going on in Cincinnati, but a program has just imploded.
Yeah, real money burner. They're 2-8 against the point spread this year. You know, Memphis actually has played pretty well considering they lost Fuentes to Virginia Tech, who's a real solid coach, turned that program around. They're 6-4 straight up, but they're also just 3-7 against the numbers. So these two teams are now 5-15 against the point spread this year. Both have been money burners.
Yeah, it's one of these deals where even I'm not going to force a pick on this one. But I am intrigued by this next game here, Steve. Boise State, you and I have talked about them on a couple of occasions. They played on these Friday nights. They didn't cover a couple of weeks ago in this spot against San Jose State when they were laying a boatload of points. I think it was 45-31, the final score in that range. UNLV aren't as bad as people think they are, actually. They've had a lot of injuries this year. I'm surprised they've actually been able to win four games. But their offense has come alive, man. They put up 69 points on a pretty good Wyoming team last year. And, you know, the Rebels have just been money, man. What are they, 8-2 to the over? They're an over machine, the UNLV Running Rebels. I like this game to go over the number, and I think the number's a little bit high here, man. Boise State have struggled to stop the run. UNLV can run the football. 28.5 points is a lot. I'm taking the Rebels.
Yeah, we've talked about this a few times. Boise State, for a couple of decades, was the best point spread play at home in all of college football. And as things often do, when they reverse strongly. And now that they are 5-0 straight up at home this year, but they're 0-5 against the spread in those five games.
And a 3-7 on the season against the spread, Steve.
Right, and more importantly, Gabe, they've been a double-digit favorite in four of those five games, and they haven't won any home game by more than 14 points this year. Several single-digit wins as a double-digit favorite. And by the way, they're 1-4 under, they're 4-1 of the under in those five home games. So the problem has actually been maybe not as an explosive of an offense as they normally have at home. Overall, they're averaging just 30 points at home. They're averaging 36.5 on the season. So basically, they're scoring almost two touchdowns more on the road than they are at home this season.
I look at this game, and I see like a kind of like the San Jose State game, you know, 45-28 type of deal, which would get us the cover and the over.
They're a 28-point favorite. They won by 5 against Colorado State. They were a 24-point favorite, I think, or a 31-point favorite in the San Jose game. That's the only game they won by 14. Every home game has been less than that. So not only are they not winning by big margins, but they're failing by like two or three touchdowns against the spread.
All right, so tonight we got some interesting college basketball on the board. Michigan and SMU, it's the 2K Classic Championship game at Madison Square Garden. Man, they've been busy at MSG this week with all these great college basketball games. So Michigan beat up on Marquette last night. That surprised some with how they blew them out in the fashion that they did. I had a piece of Michigan. I fell short with the over because Marquette just couldn't get it going. I had a piece of SMU to beat Pitt. SMU have beaten Michigan 2 years in a row. Beilein's a great tournament format coach, Steve. He always has been, and he always fares well in these mini tournaments even. Here they are in the championship game against SMU. Double revenge spot. What do you make of this game with the Mustangs being a one-point favorite? I think the total is a little low at 137.5.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it's hard to play the over between these two teams because, like you said, Beilein's a great coach, and one of the reasons he does well in these formats is because they play that half-court basketball. They take a lot of threes. SMU, though, plays at an even slower pace so far this season than Michigan has, and they've had a very strong three-point defense. They're giving up only 27% beyond the arc so far and only 58 points per game. I actually think the under could be worth a look here. Both teams playing with some tired legs. You know, a lot of times that affects defense, but when you're a three-point shooting team, that worries you as well with the tired legs, you know, back-to-back games.
Speaking of tired legs, we've got North Carolina. They just played the other night against Long Beach. The Tar Heels are just lighting it up. They're scoring more than a lot of NBA teams are, Steve. They've scored 90 or more points in three of their first four basketball games so far. They're averaging 95 points per game. They're giving up 66. So we get this monster number right now. But I tell you what, man, those fans are going to be fired up tonight in Hawaii, Steve. It's not often they get an opportunity to play against the Tar Heels. Hawaii were real good last year. These guys were nice moneymakers. This year, I don't know. I haven't seen them. I've watched them on the Gamecast a couple of times type thing. You know, they seem to be a little bit underwhelming, but 25 points is a lot to be given Hawaii on their home floor. And I like the over in this at 157.
Yeah, this line has been climbing because Michael Thomas is out for Hawaii, one of their key players at forward, out for the year with a wrist injury. So I think that's a concern that, you know, already a team that's at a disadvantage against a team like North Carolina is going to be shorthanded now. And North Carolina is the exact opposite of the last game we just talked about. They played a fast pace, and they can put some points up, and that enables you to cover these numbers, you know, when you can blow an opponent out. So it looks like a mismatch tonight.
Yeah, I think the over's the play here. We see the over, 10-3-1, last 14 Hawaii Friday game. They get fired up for these nationally televised games. But, yeah, it's 25 points for a reason. This North Carolina team just killing people, and the injury to Hawaii could hurt them, but it's still a boatload of points. And finally, in closing, Steve, we got the Warriors and the Celtics. Interesting NBA card tonight, but this is one of the higher profile games. Up to 7.5 now, I see. Warriors have been on a little bit of a run. They're 9-2 straight up. They're scoring a ton of freaking points like North Carolina are right now. They're still only 4-6-1 against the spread, but they are 8-3 to the over right now. Man, they've scored 125 or more points in three straight, and they've actually scored 116 points or more in their last six straight games the Warriors have.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, will Brad Stevens, you know, try to dictate his old Butler style here and slow him down? But the Celtics like to play at a good pace as well. They're averaging 106 a game. They're giving up 106. Their defense has been a bit of a problem this year. Boston was supposed to maybe be the team to beat in the East, you know, other than Cleveland and maybe Toronto. Started the season really slow, but they've quietly won three of their last four games straight up and against the spread since that blowout loss in Washington. By the way, I had them in that game. I haven't played them since, and of course they go 3-1 in their last four now. But it does look like they're turning things around. They could possibly be a live dog tonight, but Golden State's tricky. You know, there's really no value with the Warriors, but when they bring their A game, you know, they can have value. Just wonder, are they going to bring their A game tonight? Does this type of opponent get them focused?
And they will be fired up. You know, they're going to be fired up. It's national television. It's the Boston Celtics.
Right, in the Garden.
You know, the Celtics wanted to get Durant. You know, the Warriors played the other night. The Raptors backdoored it, man, but they nearly got to 250 points. I think it's a track meet tonight, Steve.
Yeah, I don't think Boston's going to slow them down. I mean, the last game against Dallas was very low scoring the other night, but otherwise the Celtics have been playing games both in the hundreds offensively and defensively recently.
Yeah, I think they get into the 230s tonight. Steve, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. All right, we've got the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and we've got Pat Mayo, Super Lock of the Week. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, sitting alongside the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. It's time for some hot roster. The kid
is hot tonight. Whoa, so hot tonight. Morenci, where will we be tomorrow?
I think it would be more fitting, actually, if we had the Foreigner song, Cold as Ice.
Cold, that used to be for the betting show. Cold as ice, I know. Why can't the Saints score another block kick? Thanks, New Orleans.
We used to host a show, and if we were hot, we'd open up with that old rap song. This is why I'm hot. This is why you're not.
Yeah, this is why I'm hot. And then when we're cold, we're cold
we're
as
cold,
ice.
We're as cold as ice. Yeah, you know, okay, I'm like George Costanza, like with the tracksuit. I'm just giving up, no shave. I put the jacked hoodie on. I'm like, you know, whatever, dude. I noticed you too. Earlier in the week, you were a little bit cleaner cut. I noticed your hair. You're just, at the end of the week, you're beaten down.
It is. Hey, well, I'm going up to Stouffville, you know, outside of town. I'm doing horse racing seminars. You know, I'm getting home at 4 o'clock in the morning. We got to pay bills, Morenci. Let's do it hot roster style.
All right, let's jump in. Let's start off. With Lamar Miller versus Jordy Nelson. Of course, Hot Roster. The beautiful thing about HotRoster.com is you are not going head-to-head with 437,000 other people.
Or MIT grads.
Yeah, you're going head-to-head with yourself. You pick the four matchups and you win. Four head-to-head fantasy matchups, non-PPR. It's a great website. We encourage you to check it out over at Hot Roster. You can play four matchups, five matchups. If you're feeling saucy, you can go for 10 matchups.
You got to put that 10 matchup card together, buddy.
Yeah, I could use
Swing
a 10 matchup
fences.
Card right yeah. now. All right, let's start off. So we've got Lamar Miller in Lamar Miller's in Mexico City versus the Raiders.
Mexico.
Jordy Nelson.
Yes.
At Washington. I don't know. I'm going to save a lot of analysis here, man. I like Jordy Nelson.
So do I, Gabe. Let's go to the camp camera.
Jordy Nelson it is.
Lamar Miller, you're cold as ice. You haven't been doing anything, and you might lose a running back job to a linebacker. That's how crazy things are in Houston right now. And we know about Alfred Blue. He's going to get some touches when healthier, too. As for Jordy Nelson, Morenci, you said it. Let's talk numbers, too. 19 receptions the last two games. And the best thing about Nelson is he gets in the end zone, too. He's a red zone threat. He's got five more touchdowns on the season. It's all about, hey, Washington, Green Bay.
Yeah,
we're going to see some fireworks.
What's the score going to be in the Washington, Green Bay?
41-35.
Exactly. That's pretty high.
41-35.
I hope it is. Hey. Yeah, hey.
Like those overs, that you don't even have to sweat it out.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know what? I think it's going to be a high-scoring game as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers threw for 4 touchdown passes in this game. Maybe 2 of them to Nelson. Nelson's going to have a monster day.
So is Adams.
You know what? I want to thank you guys at Hot Roster. Normally, you guys are like pretty jerkish, and you make it really hard to pick. I like this one. Thanks. Watch Lamar Miller slaughter Nelson now.
Yeah, final. Hey, Lamar Miller goes wild in Mexico. 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah.
Jordy Nelson it is. Yep. All right, DeAndre Hopkins. Ooh, once again, against the Raiders versus Amari Cooper versus the Texans. DeAndre Hopkins is a 1-point fantasy favorite.
Well, you know what, Morenci? If we're going to go against Miller, I'm thinking, well, what does Brock Osweiler do? Not much. Know what he does? He throws for Wayne Gretzky. 99 yards. It stinks. You know what? Let's go with Amari Cooper. One thing we know about him is him or Crabtree, one of these guys is going to go off in Mexico, and I think it actually might be Cooper. He's better in all categories as well. I got to love with Hot Roster, too, what they're doing, like Miller versus Nelson, doing wide receiver versus running backs and stuff. These guys are really mixing it up, but in the battle of these receivers, I'm going with Cooper. He's a pooch. Did I miss something?
Better quarterback.
Better quarterback. Car's getting it done. The car's full of gas.
I said off the top of the program, like, what sucks in Spanish? Because that's what people in Mexico City are going to be saying when they watch Brock Osweiler.
What is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I only know cervezas, por favor, amigo.
They're going to be saying, Osweiler, terrible.
Terrible.
El terrible.
Brock Osweiler, el terrible.
El terrible. Oh, and Osweiler's going to be, El Terrible.
El Terrible. Yes, he's brutal. Anyway, if a guy can't throw for 100 yards, pass.
That's his new nickname, El Terrible. Be a good name for our cameraman, too. All right. El Terrible. All right. Allen Robinson and the Jacksonville Jaguars are at Detroit.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Julian Edelman and the San Francisco 49ers. So what, this one's a pick'em.
You know what, Morenci? This one I'm going to go off the books a little bit. If you look at the numbers, especially the last couple weeks, A-Rob's getting it together after a cold start. Even with Blake Bortles throwing the ball, he seems to be getting touchdowns. He's a fantastic receiver. But Edelman, we have a great situation here. Against the Niners, we're going to have no Gronk. So it's not going to be all Martellus Bennett. I think Edelman is the guy that receives major catches and even a touchdown in this game. So I'm going to take Edelman in a pick'em situation. I think this is his week. I think he has one of the best games of the season.
You know, this one actually
This
is a tougher one here. It's interesting. They both have the exact amount of receptions.
Yep.
Yet, I believe that the San Francisco 49ers are going to be trailing this football game. New England's going to be running the football with LeGarrette Blount. They're going to be up by a big margin. Meanwhile, Detroit will be up on Jacksonville. I like them playing
comeback football. Yeah. You like A-Rob?
This is the one I'll disagree. Okay. I'll go with Allen Robinson on this one. All right, this is a fun one here. Yep. We got Elliott, only a -0.5, taking on the Baltimore Ravens and that stout run defense. Ryan Tannehill, +0.5 fantasy, non-PPR, at the Rams. And I'll tell you what, Ryan Tannehill, during this 4-game win streak, hasn't turned the football over. Suddenly, he's not El Terrible.
No, he's actually running hard, too, taking hits, and he's a real football player now. But you know what, Morenci? I actually don't like the situation for Miami this week. I know Jay Ajayi has been money, but I'm telling you, on the road, Goff in St. Louis, I could see a real slobber knocker. Old
I like where you're going
fight.
With this.
I'm telling you. Ezekiel Elliott.
I think the Rams are going to upset him.
So
I think they're going to win. I think
so
Todd Gurley has a big game.
So do I.
I'm thinking the opposite. Goff gets a win in his first matchup.
Everyone thinks he's going to suck. I'm telling you, Tannehill will not throw for over 200 yards in this game, and he's going to be hit hard. Take Elliott.
You got to take Elliott.
Baltimore will slow him down.
But, Cam, yeah, Baltimore will give up like 71 yards a game on the ground.
I know, but that's the thing. Elliott will still get his. I expect a horrible game from Tannehill with multiple interceptions as well for minus points.
I agree with where Cam's going with this. And like I said off the top of the program, me and Cam think the same. I said, why do I like the Rams this week? Law of averages. It's physically impossible for the Miami Dolphins to be successful 5 times in a row at something. All right? Tannehill has to turn the ball over. It's going to be one of these days. And everyone in L.A., well, how come we didn't play Goff earlier?
Yeah.
How come we didn't play Goff? Well, you didn't play him earlier because he sucked in the preseason. That's why I didn't play him earlier.
All girly anyway.
But, yeah, how do you not take Elliott? You don't want to overthink things just because Baltimore's got that good run defense.
Elliott will still get his.
All right, so LeSean McCoy. Ooh, I like LeSean.
Flacco.
Ooh, Joe Flacco.
Flacco.
Well, I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy
here.
I
like McCoy. I'm with you, Moretti.
Joe Flacco. Listen, I think Baltimore is going to hang around this game with Dallas, but how the hell am I going to take Joe Flacco with his 9 touchdowns and his 9 interceptions? He completes 11 passes a game. He hopes to get lucky to Wallace down the field.
He has 9.
I think LeSean McCoy is going to have a big game
you
against
said
the Bengals.
It. The guy's a quarterback, and he's thrown for 9 touchdowns. I think about Flacco.
Yeah, only 8 more than DeMarco Murray.
You know what? There's a thing called fantasy and there's a thing called reality. Flacco's getting it done and the Ravens are playing well, but he's not going to blow anybody away with his numbers. As for Morency, Bills Mafia, hey, McCoy's coming off a bye week. You don't think they're ready to run against Cincinnati? McCoy is going to go off in this game. I love this matchup. I love LeSean McCoy, Morency. I don't even think this one's going to be close. I think he smokes Flacco.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy is a real shame that he got hurt when he
did. Yeah, and your boy Ryan really screwed it up with Gillislee, too. He's ruining my fantasy teams.
Yeah, that
a real jerk.
Yeah, I was in
honestly, everything was going good. You didn't have to play him that game. We were rolling, man. We were rolling.
All right.
I'm in a big cash league. That really pissed me off.
All right. So Matt Stafford, over under 17.5 fantasy points against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Good number. Good number by Hot Roster. You guys are getting
I'm going over
sharp.
The number, man.
I'm going over.
I'm going over the number here. You know, the only thing that concerns me a little bit about this is they're coming off the bye, Cam. You never know how teams react coming out of the bye, but it's a nice matchup. This should be a higher scoring game. You got to love what Stafford's doing right now, hooking up with Golden Tate. They're throwing the football a lot. But I like Matt Stafford. I don't see why he doesn't get 21 fantasy points.
8 touchdowns, 1 pick in his 4 games at home. You know Stafford's a better quarterback at Ford Field. And all the other quarterbacks, Mariota, Rivers, Rodgers, all got over 17.5. I'm with Morency. He hits 20 over.
And I also know that Nate Hackett is the worst offensive coordinator in the history of football. And he's the OC.
I love when Cameron Drew laughs.
Yeah. Nate Hackett's the OC of Jacksonville, which means there'll be a lot of 3-and-outs. And Detroit's going to have the ball.
Blake Bortles is a train wreck. Like, he's an absolute train
wreck.
Well,
he's the epitome of reality and fantasy in which.
Exactly.
I remember watching a game this year. They were freaking terrible, man. They were like terrible, 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 terrible.
El Terrible,
exactly. They were awful. Yet I lost the head-to-head fantasy matchup because somebody had Bortles. And I was like, I just watched him play. Like, he was so bad, he'd be like, they'd want to release him bad. But no, he had 25 fantasy points.
That's what he
like,
does.
Like, there's got to be, like, it was really frustrating. That was like the first time I'm like, man, fantasy points suck, dude. He's horrible. I don't care that he got 25. I was so pissed. I'm like, you shouldn't be allowed to get 25 fantasy points if your team loses by 24.
That's Bortles. Got any others, buddy?
We blasted through them.
Yeah, we sure did. I like the Ravens to cover this week, too. It's going to be one of my top games. I think they might beat Dallas outright. I like the Rams. We're on the same page with some pooches this week.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, right. Well, I'll talk to you on Monday, see how our wallets are, thicker or thinner.
Yeah, you guys can just cut the gambling talk out of the Hot Roster. Just put the Hot Roster up separately. Put that segment up separately. I like the Ravens as well. Cam,
yes.
It's always a pleasure. Get some rest.
You too, buddy.
All right. We got Pat Mayo joining us next in studio. His Super Lock of the Week. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Moretz. We welcome Pat Mayo into the studio. It's time for Pat Mayo's Super Lock of the Week.
Super Dud of the Week. The Pittsburgh Steelers cost me a lot of moolah last week.
Yeah,
broke up an 8-game parlay I had. I had 7 of the 8 right. Pittsburgh, the Super Lock? No, of course they couldn't win.
Seems to be a consensus game that screwed everybody last week. Our Who Ruined Your Sunday videos, most of them were the Pittsburgh Dallas game. Me and Cam have been bemoaning that Steeler game. It's like watching the Oregon Ducks play, man. They're going for 2 every time. They're not getting it. They couldn't stop anybody. But it's no good to live in the past, Pat. But just remember, for every lock, there's a key.
That's good. That's great to put in my mind right now because I don't even love the game I have this week. But just the number seems so off that I'm just – okay, well, I want to start with this one because you're a Bills guy. I like the Bengals at home -2.5. I know the pass rush for the Bills is exceptional and the offensive line for the Bengals is not very good, but this just strikes me as a situation right now at -2.5 where it's probably a team that's equal or potentially a little bit better. I do like the skill guys a little bit better on Cincinnati right now. That just, if you're giving me less than a field goal at home, you're telling me on a neutral site that the Bills would be the favorite in this game. Like, I don't buy that, not for a second. I think the Bengals win this game and they cover the 2.5.
I find the line to be extremely interesting, yet they've been doing this all season long with the Buffalo Bills for one reason or another. We've talked about this. The odds makers respect the Bills.
It's because everyone, people are betting on the Bills.
They're begging you. You got to read between the lines, all right? So throw out all the analytics and even the one loss records and all this type stuff. Read between the lines. What are they trying to do here? They're saying, take the Cincinnati Bengals. They're only 2.5-point favorites.
And no one's taking them. Everyone's taking the Bills.
But I've said this every week, Pat. The more players the Bills lose and the more games they lose, the more people take them. Like, the team could have, a bus. Their bus could get into an accident on the way to the stadium. They make a case for the Bills in this game. And it upsets me. I don't know I'm a Bills fan. I'd like to be getting 3.5, 4 here. This reminds me of week 1 against Baltimore was the same thing. All summer it was 3.5, and then by game day it was 1.5.
Yeah, it got bet down.
And who won that game? Baltimore.
Of course. And again, this is another example of people are just kind of talking about, oh man, the AFC North is, maybe it's worse than the AFC South. None of these teams are any good. These teams are all actually pretty good, just none of them are elite. When you look at Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati, these are still pretty good rosters top to bottom. They've had some bad luck and throughout the course of the entire season.
Cincinnati are underachievers. They should be better than they are.
But if you're going to give me less than a field goal, I think they can win by a field goal at home.
I like the Buffalo Bills here.
I think you're going to see this number go down by just the way that the bet percentage is coming in. This is going to be 2 by the time Sunday comes around, maybe 1.5.
I know that past history really doesn't mean too much.
They always beat the Bengals.
But they do. They're 10-3 the last 13 times they've played the Cincinnati Bengals.
How about this? When Cleveland plays Buffalo later in the year.
The Bills are good out of the bye as well.
Doesn't that sound like Cleveland's win? Because they usually beat Buffalo.
Oh, I'm concerned about that. I remember when Derek Anderson was held to 24 passing yards and the Bills managed to lose to the Browns
6-3. Yeah. I remember that game. That sucked.
Might have been the worst NFL game ever, actually. That game might have been, I remember losing money on that game, thinking, that was, the lowest point ever of being a Bills fan, almost. You held the Cleveland Browns to 24 yards passing, and you lost the game somehow. But, all right, so your super lock is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, it's weird, because there's a lot of games that I like this week, but there's not one that I'm really in love with, so I had to make the pick. That's the pick I have. But you start looking around, I like Jacksonville and the points at the Lions. The Lions haven't won a game by more than 6 points all season long. I like the Bears at the Giants.
Okay, this one, how can you like the Bears at the Giants?
Because the Giants don't win games by a lot of points. They just don't.
I know.
They'll win by 4, they'll win by 3,
they'll grind it down. They have historically been a bad home favorite. I'm going to give you that, but... Eli Manning's thrown 7 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. The offense has come alive. Beckham is in a good mood suddenly. And your boy Jay Cutler's done, Pat. It's over.
Hey, listen, 2 weeks ago, Jay Cutler was back. Last week, now he's done. Listen, he's going to be fine. They're going to score 14 points. They score 14 points. They cover.
I'll go with the Giants in this game.
We're on the other side of everything
this total, week. The total's 43 in this game. It should go over the number.
I don't know about that.
But the Bears are, it's to the point where I wouldn't be surprised if Jay Cutler got assaulted in the locker room type of deal. And now he's Cutler's talking smack today. Put your name on it. Who's this unnamed source saying that I suck? It's everybody. I'll put my name on it. Hey, Cutler, you suck. There's Morenci's name is on it, all right? He's it could be any one of my teammates. Yeah, because they all know you blow. And then you talking about being how happy you are Donald Trump won the election probably didn't help your cause in the room, Pat.
Can we talk about a game that I see as a trap this week?
Which one?
That Miami game, man.
I like the Rams to win outright.
I like the Rams to win outright as well.
We got a common cause here. We both agree. Dolphins just aren't winning 5 in a row.
It's weird because they have beat every team that's under 500 so far this year that they've played. So that would lean towards the Dolphins. But why is it -2.5? Why was it -1.5 earlier in the week? All the money is on Miami. Everyone just looks at the sheet what's my favorite game this week? Oh, well, Miami's going to beat the Rams. Let's take them. Something is up with this game. I'm not going to lay
I'm going contrarian here. I think Todd Gurley has a big game.
I kind of agree with you on that. I mean, if there's going to
Dolphins,
be a game where
Dolphins
he goes off,
Dolphins give up 128 yards. No one talks about that. They talk about their pass rush. They give up 128 yards a game on the ground. Jared Goff was horrible in the preseason. We've seen these kid quarterbacks be successful in their first starts.
Just don't turn it over, you're fine.
Yeah.
Let the defense do the
work.
What
about the over? I don't like betting unders of games. I'm an over better, but this game's got to stay under, Pat.
Because there was
it's 40 points. How are they going to get the 40 points?
Defense.
We said the same thing about that Bills-Rams game, and it was a track meet, too.
And we loved the over in the Atlanta-Philly game last week.
Oh, yeah, this one.
That was. I even teased it down, and it didn't hit.
Yeah, dude, I lost the tease. That was a frustrating one. Last Sunday was the most frustrating Sunday I've had, like, all year.
Last week...
Because, Pat, you watched that game, you were going up and down the field. Yeah, they kept settling for field goals.
I know. And Philly looked really good in that game,
too. It could have been 21-21 at the half, man. Instead, it was like 9-6.
It's no different than the Thursday nighter last night. Anyone who had a piece on the cover watching Carolina settle for field goals every single time they got into the red zone.
That was brutal.
I teased the over down on that, too. Lost.
You're like, touchdown. No, it's not a touchdown. And then we're going to take another 5 minutes off the clock as sputtering around. Okay.
What was New Orleans doing? Smartly, they called the timeout at the end of the game. So you stop the clock, allow them to punt. First two plays they do, run and milk the clock down. What the hell are you doing? How does that make any sense? You leave yourself with 9 seconds left to come back in. Real, real smart work. And what was Michael Thomas doing not trying to lateral at the end? It's all very confusing stuff to me. It should be like football 101.
Well, there was a lot of strange stuff. Look, Carolina threw the ball on first down, actually.
No.
Right, they stopped the clock. Like, all the Saints needed. They needed one more damn stop. I was frustrated last night. We fell short on a couple of props. All right, we agree as far as the Rams are concerned. Eagles and Seahawks.
Like the Eagles. See, like the Eagles a lot.
This is the one where I'll disagree on.
The best pass rush
I just don't
in the
like
league.
The Seahawks winning by 6.5. But at the same point in time, I think
Eagles
Carson Wentz.
The road.
Yeah. It's this dink and dunk stuff, Pat. They weren't that good last week.
I think the dink and dunk stuff is going to be effective enough to score maybe 7 to 10 points. And I think that's good enough to cover because the best pass rush in the league goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the worst offensive lines in the league.
Seattle's offense has come alive as of late.
It has, but it's not going to be the same when they have no time to throw. When you play the Patriots and they can't get to you, it's a bit of a different story when people are in your face the entire time. I don't think that's...
What about the week before, the Buffalo Bills? They lead the NFL in sacks. And Wilson went up and down the field on him?
He did, but he was able to throw it deep on them. And that's not going to happen against the Philadelphia Eagles. It just won't. And you're not going to be able to run the ball at all here. I just don't see this being a high-scoring game. I think 6.5 is too many points. I see it as a field goal game. I think Seattle wins, but I do think that the Eagles cover.
All right. What do you think of that Green Bay-Washington game?
Give me Washington.
Really, huh?
Screw Green Bay. They're terrible.
They really are terrible, aren't they? But I think Green Bay's going to win. I hate them.
Betting on Green Bay this year has been flushing your money down the toilet. It really has been. Like we talked about.
I thought you were Mr. Anti Kirk Cousins, and oh, he sucks, and the Redskins suck.
Yeah.
You've come around?
I haven't really come around, but I'm just kind of anti Green Bay. I've been piling up money betting against Green Bay every week. We talked about Tennessee last week, how they were one of the best bets on the board. And boom, they go out and they smoke Green Bay. I like Tennessee this week, too.
You should have made it a super lock.
I should have, yeah. We talked about...
I knew it, too, and I took the Packers on one of these sweetheart, like, 10-point teasers. They couldn't even lose the game by 7.
Last week,
what do you think of this week? Colts and Titans.
I like the Titans. Yeah. It's not a bet-on game for me. It's a stay-away game, but if I had forced to choose, I would take Tennessee, and I think the game goes under.
What is Dumb and Dumber? What do you guys say?
They're both saying Colts.
They pick the Colts every week. They pick the Colts all
They were right
week
last
so
time, though.
Sure.
I'm riding camera one and camera two.
All right.
Taking the Colts.
I like DeMarco to go kind of crazy here and shut the game down, shrink the game.
But we do agree. Baltimore Ravens plus 7.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's just a game that, again, it gets shrunken down. And when you go up against the league's best run defense.
All right. It's time for our DraftKings Millionaire Maker lineup of the week. All right. Let's start off at the quarterback position. It's almost becoming a weekly thing. Marcus Mariota, how can we refuse? $6,700 is a solid price. One of the hottest players in the league, man. 19-26, 4 touchdown passes last week. I expect another track meet this week against the Indianapolis Colts. We're thinking outside the box a little bit on this one. I was scrolling down the prices of the running backs, man, and I see Todd Gurley sort of mixed in there with the Carlos Hydes of the world, and I'm thinking, you know what? Todd Gurley can ball, and you know what? Jared Goff is making his debut, man. Jeff Fisher's not putting Goff in there to throw the football 52 times. I expect a lot of touches for Todd Gurley. He got the ball 21 times last week. I expect him to get it probably about 25 this week. Let's take Todd Gurley. Don't forget the Dolphins. They're ranked 30th against the run, man. He gave up 128 yards a game on the ground. We're going to go with Kelly. Kelly's a new back right now for Gruden in Washington. He's not great, man, but he's got 43 carries in the last two games. There's going to be a lot of production in this game, a lot of offensive production. I think this game with the Packers probably going to get into the 60s when it's all said and done. I think Kelly's a fair price and a steal at $4,400. Speaking of this game, Davante Adams, man, this kid's come alive right now. 35 receptions on 47 targets in the last 4 weeks. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to light it up. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Nelson and Adams both go off, but Adams a lot cheaper than Nelson, so let's go with Adams here. This is a pick that, I was high on Diggs before everybody was on him. You know, he's $7,000. He's going to have Peterson on him, but, man, the production is there. I wish we could get more touchdowns, but 34 receptions in the last three games, man. 42 targets, all right? They're back home right now. Plus, Arizona suck, all right? Arizona are falling apart. Minnesota's going to win this game. Diggs gets into the end zone. All right, we're going to go with Golden Tate in this spot. 43 targets in the Lions last four games, 11 receptions versus the Vikings. Doyle, how about this? 9 catches on 10 targets and a touchdown last time they played the Titans. Le'Veon Bell, he's going to carve these guys up, man. All right, he's going to kill them. The Steelers aren't going to take the pedal off the metal. They're in a bad mood. Tomlin leaves his starters in longer than he should all the time. Anyways, I like Bell, but I'll be honest with you. Play this lineup. Maybe take Diggs out and mix it up a little bit. And we're going to also play a flex, same lineup, but with Odell Beckham instead of Bell. Let's take the Bills. Bills defense lead in sacks, and Dalton's an idiot who'll turn the ball over. All right, let's get to our picks for tonight. Boston Celtics plus 7.5. We're going to go over 224.5. Portland Trailblazers, man, they're underdogs against the Pelicans. The Blazers are struggling, but they're not that bad. Give me the Blazers. They own the Pelicans, too. Toronto Raptors, they've lost a couple in a row, but they're playing they play the best teams. They play the Cavs and the Warriors. They'll find life easier against the Denver Nuggets. Let's lay the 4 points. UNLV plus 28.5 against Boise State. We're taking it. We're going to go over the number. This game's going to be a real high-scoring football game. Little college basketball. Michigan, double revenge spot against SMU, plus 1. Michigan, SMU over the number. North Carolina's lane 25. Give me Hawaii and hammer the over, man. Biggest bet of the night, over 157. May the winners be yours.